Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Lakeland. My name is Garrett. I'm one of the pastors. And this morning we're talking about some things you can't do alone. So, yeah, party, water ski. That one looked especially dangerous, I thought. And of course, your spiritual journey. Your spiritual journey is something you cannot do alone. And we're here to talk about that as well. Not only can you not do it well alone, but you can't do it well alone if others should fail to show up, or if you should fail to show up. So we'll be talking a lot about things that don't work when there's no shows. One of those things that I've encountered a few times now is a picnic. It's hard to pull off a picnic when there's no shows. My wife and I used to do a pumpkin carving party in October every year. And we would, you bring a pumpkin, you bring some food, and we kind of have this all-day picnic until dark, and then we project an old horror movie on a screen and have a great time. Well, one year we hatched a plan to assign everybody to bring something by birthday. So there was a block of birthdays that brought a dessert, and a block of birthdays that brought a side dish, and a block of birthdays that brought pop. And here's where we messed up. There was a block of birthdays to bring a main course, which meant that block of birthdays, it costs more, right, to be born in there because you got to bring something with meat in it. So what happened that year was everybody who was born during those 3 months just didn't come. So we had this picnic with the pop and the cookies and the potato chips, and that was, you know, what you're going to live on for this afternoon while you carve the pumpkin. So that was a bad plan. That picnic didn't work for the no-shows. So my wife and I, we put our heads together. We come up with a plan, so next year that can't happen. Here's our brilliant plan. Let's assign everyone to bring everything. So please bring a pop and a side dish and a dessert and a main course. See, then we'll have everything no matter who shows. So it's kind of like we were saying, you know, make dinner and then bring it. So we invited about 150 people that year, and about 30 came. And they were the 30 from that personality set that doesn't read invitations, so they didn't really bring anything. So that picnic was a total bust. That was our fault. You can't do a picnic when folks don't show. And we're going to try to, this morning, compare our small group's experience in ministry and church to a picnic. So I want to impress a few things. For one, some of you may be newer, and you've heard us talk a lot about small groups, but you still don't have a picture of what is that. So I want to paint a picture of what a small group is. Then I'd like to express what a gift it is from God that He gives us each other to be together. And finally, I would like to impress upon everyone the importance of showing up. So let's start with the beginning. What is a small group? Here at Lakeland, a small group is going to be about 3 to about 12 people. Much more than 12 and you're really getting into a large group. So it's going to be about 3 to 12 people who meet together. They usually meet once a week, but there are many small groups that will only meet twice a month, every other week. They usually meet for a couple of hours, usually. Sometimes a little more, but right around the two-hour mark. And they get together to do something. Like, they might get together to read a Christian book all together for a season. They might get together to read a book of the Bible all together. They might get together to pray or discuss a particular aspect of life. Or they might get together to serve somewhere. But what they get together for usually is just the middle hour. Because for the first half hour, 45 minutes, people often just catch up. How have things been going? How is what, you know, how's we heard you were going to be doing this or that? How'd that turn out? Get to know one another. You get to know people. Then you do what you came to do. And then the last half hour of 45 minutes, people often will talk about what's coming up in the week. Just trade prayer requests. Pray for one another. So that's kind of what happens. Get to know one another. Do what you came to do. Read, study, discuss. And then pray. This usually happens in someone's home. Someone in the group will open up their home. You'll be meeting in their living room or their basement. Sometimes they rotate from house to house. It sounds like it would be easier. It's actually a little harder, but you can do that. Some groups, though, will meet for breakfast at a particular restaurant, and some get with our facility director, and we'll see if there's a space here in the church they can reserve, and everybody come together. I hope that helps paint a little picture when we say, join a small group. That's kind of what you'll be doing. I've been a lot of small groups here at Lakeland. And they generally start out the same. You come, you're getting to know people, you're getting to read some things you haven't read for a long time or maybe never have gotten to read. You're getting to pray for one another and be prayed for. And then at about week three, someone doesn't show up. Not a big deal. Everyone's going to miss a few small groups in any season. But then week four, they're not there again. Then week five, they're back. Then week six, they're gone. And somewhere about halfway through the group, they're just gone. Now, I was in one group where that was the leaders. So that group was canceled more than we had it. And I'll say from those who were there, it hurts the feelings of the people who were there when there's a chronic no-show. It is hard not to take it personally when you were looking forward to it. Especially when you get a call that goes kind of like, we just got back from this long trip and our car is a total wreck. And so we got to get that car cleaned out. So we're going to not be a group tonight. It's hard in that moment not to hear, I would rather vacuum French fries out of a floorboard than hang out with you people. Small groups, particularly if it's a small group of people that have small children, this can be the only adult interaction you have in a week. The only place you can go and for 2 hours you don't hear, mommy, 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 dad, ask your mother, mommy, mommy. And so when you show up and people aren't there or you're the only one there, it's very disappointing. That was your only adult interaction for the week. It's like that movie Braveheart, right? All the Scots are fighting against the English, but they're just these little clans, and so they're all divided. But then Mel Gibson's character, Braveheart, says, let's unite all the clans together and fight the English. So we'll send this little army out to draw the English out. And then at just the right moment, I'm going to wave a flag and we'll have the hidden clans on the other sides of the hills. They'll ride over the hills, we'll surround them, and we'll have them, and we'll win. That was the plan. Let's watch what happened when he waves the flag.
Matching the states in England, Lachlan turned so much less archers.
They didn't show. Now in the movie, their failure to show is not because they hate William Wallace, because they hate Mel Gibson's character. That's not why they don't show. Their failure to show is not because they dislike anyone, it's just they like their own comforts more. They're not really thinking about him at all. So when people fail to show up for group, they're really not thinking, I'd rather vacuum my car than hang out with you. Usually what they are thinking is something like this. I'll just sit there all night and fret about this messy car. And I'll be so nervous about thinking about the French fries and the floorboard that I just won't get anything out of it. So I'm just going to stay home and clean my car. And that was their mistake. They thought they were going to a restaurant when they were actually going to a picnic. See, there's different rules. If you're going to a restaurant, you go to eat with strangers. You don't know hardly anyone there. When you go to a picnic, though, you're going to eat with friends. When you go to a restaurant, there's a small group of people that serve and everyone else gets served. But in a picnic, everyone serves and everyone gets served. At a restaurant, you go with an attitude of, you know, this better be good. I better get something out of this. And at a picnic, you go saying, it's good to be together. I do not expect the food to be good at a family picnic. I'm there to see family and friends. I'm surprised pleasantly if the chicken's not cold, and I'm elated if the jello's not filled with shredded carrots and raisins. That's not what I went for. You went for the people, not to get something out of the food. And the biggest difference, at a picnic, you're bringing something, and you're missed if you're not there. A restaurant goes on without you. Now, we're comparing small groups to a picnic this morning, and you may be saying, well, what would I bring that anyone would miss? Well, that's, you just may not know. You might bring a word of wisdom from God that you didn't know you were going to bring. There were four key evenings that led to my becoming a pastor, and one of those was sitting in a small group one night when a couple of people just basically blurted out, don't you feel like God's calling you to be a minister? Shouldn't you resign what you're doing, go to school, and chase that? Now, they didn't know they were going to say that night. What if they hadn't shown? Some night you may be bringing a shared pain. I went in a small group one night. We sat down. A gal said, my grandmother just died. And we were so close. And she looks at me and I'm, huh? I don't know what to say. But there was another gal. And she said, my grandmother died last year and we were close. And they started trading stories and there was so much in common. And they just turned and had this conversation between the two of them for 15 minutes. It was so healing. She didn't know she was going to bring that night. What if she hadn't been there? One night I was in a small group and someone said, our car is in the shop again. And we got, this is the worst possible week. We've got all this stuff to do. And the money is a big problem to rent a car. This is going to be a tough week. And then one of the guys said, well, no, wait, stop. My husband is out of town all week. His car was just going to sit in the garage. Why don't you just drive that car around while yours is in the shop and things will go on? She did not know she was going to make that offer when she showed up that night. What if she hadn't been there? Sometimes it's just your face and your presence that says you mattered enough to show up for. I don't, at this point, I'm kind of past needing a big crowd to make me feel good while I preach, but I won't lie, if there was just two of you sitting here right now, I'd feel weird. We had a birthday party for my daughter, and you know, she got out her notepad, and she scrawled out these phonetic spellings of all these kids that we were to invite, so we invited them all, and we're getting all ready, and then Sunday afternoon, we start getting the calls. Yeah, our kid's sick, we're still out of town, this isn't working, that's not working, we can't come. It's getting down to we're going to have like one kid and a baby. And I'm like, what is my daughter going to think? So my wife and I, we get on the phone and we call everyone we know who has a child. We're like, can you come in an hour and a half? And they did. They showed up. There were all these kids there. My daughter is totally clueless that we've totally changed the cast. But all she knows is that there's a big sea of faces there playing pin the tail on the Stegosaurus. So it worked. It worked just for the presence. So your decision on whether or not to go to a small group or something like it should never be about whether what you're going to get and whether or not you think you can live without it. But whether or not what you might bring, how God might use you, could be missed. I want to say a word of encouragement to those who have been hurt by folks that don't show. I know we probably have a lot of temporarily, I hope, retired small group leaders in the room who your small group just trickled out like a bad T.S. Eliot poem. Not with a bang, but a whimper. It was never because of you. It was never, they weren't even thinking about you. It was nothing that you did. I had, after first service, people even from other churches coming up saying, I led a small group once and all my people don't even, you know, aren't even Christians anymore. I'm like, yeah, I thought about calling my small group once Future Apostates. But, you know, it wasn't about you. It was always about them. They were just so wrapped up in themselves, they could not do anything else. In fact, I think of sometimes even the last few months of things I didn't show up to because I thought I could live without it. I'm standing here right now thinking, I should have went. I had something to bring. So all of us have this veil of this wrapping of selfishness around it, and it just takes Jesus time to unpeel that, and that's what was going on with the people in your group. What you did is you stood there and you held the door to the kingdom open. That's all the church can do. We only fail when we shut the door and keep people out. You stand there and you hold the door open. Sometimes a lot of people come through, sometimes nobody comes through, but that's not up to you. You did the right thing and you held that door open, and it wasn't about you. Some people just aren't yet ready to have others in their life. They're not yet ready to take God's gift of together. They're still back here in surrender somewhere. But I will say this. Those people who say, well, I don't need together, and those chronic no-shows, invariably, without a single exception, are the most spiritually immature and the most lost people. When that behavior starts of isolating and being alone and not needing together, you can mark it on the calendar, that person will be in some sort of huge trouble in about 12 months. God gives us this gift, but it's not just like a, I thought you might like this. This is an essential gift, a gift you need to survive. We call surrender together love, what it means to fully participate in the church. It's not suggestions. It's what we feel the Scripture and Spirit teach us on how it is to follow Jesus and be his people. It's an essential gift. Jesus prayed in the upper room on the night before his crucifixion. He prayed for togetherness. John 17, Jesus said, and now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in the name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus prayed that all of us would be one as he and the Father are one. Now, I don't want to be the crabby pastor this morning, wagging my finger at everyone saying, you know, you better show up to a small group or you're like the traitors in Braveheart. But I do want us to think more about what we might bring than what we will receive, and then make a calculation of whether we can do without it or not. But that does bring up an excellent point, that you do also receive something from a small group. It's friends for the journey. Friends for the journey, and it's essential. In a small group, you'll receive strength for the storms of your life. Ecclesiastes 4 said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. A couple of years ago, I collected some stories from people in small groups. One person wrote, I grew up thinking and being told we should need no one and not involve anyone in our business. Part of that meant I was weak if I did. But there came a particular time when our small group saved our family and loved us to health. To make a long story short, my doctor told me that I would not live past Christmas. My weight had dropped 50 pounds. I could barely function. Our small group provided meals on a regular basis, money for medical expenses and food, baskets full of items the kids would need, and they even all came and decorated our house for Christmas. In doing those things, I saw love. The person who wrote that is still with us 2 years later. In a small group, you'll receive wisdom for making good decisions. Proverbs 15 says, without counsel, plans go wrong, but with many advisors, they succeed. Someone wrote this story. During a crucial time when I needed to make a business decision, my group helped me to focus on what God wanted, not on what I wanted. The results? I relaxed, I prayed, and I received an answer. And in 1 year, my business volume quadrupled. In a small group, you receive confidentiality and accountability for spiritual health. Proverbs 27 says, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens the wits of another. This person wrote, no one's ever challenged me to grow and search like my small group has. I entered my first small group about a year ago with many questions and insecurities and struggles. I was always encouraged to search and that God is not afraid of our questions. They pointed out stories of struggling believers like Thomas and the Father speaking in Mark chapter 9. And they gave me encouragement to continue to wrestle with God. The best part is I never felt looked down upon and was always able to be completely honest about how I felt and what I thought. Whenever I have a spiritual or any other kind of meltdown, I know that help and love is just a phone call away and that someone will pull me back onto the path when I need it. I know anything said in small group is for my benefit and is said only in love and will be held in confidence. Although it takes some time to trust new people, the bonds formed in my small group are unlike anything I've experienced. I'm still in awe that strangers would reach out to me and invest so much time in my life. Small groups truly exemplify our together banner. There is strength and reliability and assurance when we come together in community. Proverbs 18 says, some friends play at friendship, but a true friend sticks closer than one's nearest kin. One person simply wrote, I was able to confide in my small group leader about a difficult situation, and she's still here for me 3 years later. Small groups are the way the church makes sure that everyone is cared for. We say that groups ensure that no one stands alone, struggles alone, serves alone, develops alone, seeks alone, and for the young here, grows up alone. It's the small groups of the people who give money, right? We have a fund for people in emergencies and dire situations, but a lot of rules govern how you get at that. You can't just run out of grocery money and show up and get some. But in a small group, that happens all the time. I've gotten groceries from my small group members when I, you know, had more month than paycheck. That's who does that. Small groups are the people that show up at the hospital. I mean, Dan and Marta and I do hospital visits, but these days, they run you through the hospital so fast, you're usually out by the time I hear that you're in. But your small group knows that you're going in, and they're there for you. It's the small group members that take the panic phone call in the middle of the night, whether you need someone to come sit with you because you've heard horrible news, or you need someone to help you pull your furniture out of your flooding basement. It's small groups that take in the homeless person. You know, you lose your job. You lose your place to live. You're thrown out of your house. I can't take you in. You might be some sort of weirdo. I got kids. But your small group knows who you are. They know your story. They can take you in. I would take in anyone from my small group. They're all a little weird, but they're weird in a way I can deal with. I would take any of them in. Everything we think of that the church ought to do, someone in the church ought to do this, that happens actually in small groups, which brings up a great point. People not in small groups do not have access to that part of the church. They're not yet part of the church. You can come and you can do this worship service and you can serve, and all those are investigative phases. And that's good. It takes some time to get comfortable. But at some point, you'll have to fully participate if you want to be a part of the church. Full participation includes together and it includes small group. You just really haven't experienced the church yet until you've experienced the small group ministry. Now, based on what I've said earlier about, you know, if you don't show up, it hurts people's feelings, there's some here today who will be thinking, man, my life's a little crazy, and, you know, I never know what I'll be doing. So I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I just won't sign up. That is dangerous thinking and wrong-headed thinking. This is an axiom of life. If I'm known for one quote, I'd like it to be this one. Somebody please write this down. When you react out of fear, you cause what you fear to happen faster. When you react out of fear, you cause what you fear to happen faster. In this case, I don't want to disappoint anyone, so I won't draw close to a community and be in a small group. So what you do then is everybody else is lashing their boats together, and you're not going to because you don't want to rock someone else's canoe. You're afraid, so you just let yours drift and drift and drift. And out there on the sea somewhere, something's going to happen to you that will disappoint all those people you cared about more than if you just failed to show up. People who are drifting in an isolation, as I've already said, are in trouble very quickly and cause the thing they fear, disappointing others, to happen quicker. No, you're going to have to take the risk. You might disappoint your children. So are we all going to adopt them out tomorrow? You may disappoint your spouse. Are we sneaking away in the night? You may disappoint your boss. Going to turn in your resignation? Well, no, you can't. Those are essential parts of your life. So is this. You just have to take the risk. You're just going to have to take the risk and commit to together to be a full participant in the body of Christ. God has given us friends for the journey, and it's a gift, and it's an essential gift. He gave it to us, and we need it. I love adventure movies. I sometimes like to imagine my life kind of like an adventure movie, and if it's not too adventuresome, I find something dangerous to go do with my children, and then I have a new sermon story to tell you about something I shouldn't have done. But I love those. I'll save one of those. I got a good one here I did last spring. I'll wait for a sermon to match it. But I love adventure stories. I love The Lord of the Rings. You know, it's a great journey. Half the movie is just walking, walking. I love the scene in the middle movie when they tell us one of the key ingredients for a truly great journey. So I'd like us to watch that scene together.
I wonder if we'll ever be put into songs or tales.
What?
I wonder if people will ever say, let's hear about Frodo and the ring. And they'll say, yes, it's one of my favorite stories.
Frodo was really courageous, wasn't he, Dad?
Yes, my boy. The most famousest of hobbits. And that's saying a lot.
You've left out one of the chief characters.
Samwise the Brave.
I want to hear more about Sam.
Frodo wouldn't have got far without Sam.
Now, Mr. Frodo, you shouldn't make fun. I was being serious.
So was I.
Samwise the Brave.
A friend for the journey. That's the key ingredient. Someone who will finally carry you the last bit up the mountain. As long as I can remember, we've described our small groups ministry this way. A place to love and be loved. A place to know and be known. A place to serve and be served. A place to celebrate and be celebrated. And this is our small group season, and today begins your opportunity to take part in this. And some of you, it's time. It's time to draw close to the people of God, become a part of the family. So I'd like to welcome and introduce Marta Gilliland. She's our Director of Community Life. Her whole ministry here revolves around connecting you in togetherness. And a big part of that is small groups, as she's going to give you the ins and outs that you need to know on how to sign up for our small groups ministry. and then I'll have prayer and benediction after that.
Thanks, Garrett. That's right. That's my job, to get you involved and connected, and it's my favorite thing to do. If you don't have a small group catalog in your hand, just kind of give a little signal to the ushers. They're going to walk around and get one to you. I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts out of this thing right here. So I'm going to give everyone a minute to kind of get one of those. And I want to draw your attention to a couple of other things in the bulletin, because this is the announcements. We didn't have announcements today. There's an info card in your bulletin. If you could fill that out, that would be great. Hand it to the ushers on the way out. That's just our way of knowing that you're here and getting in contact with you. If you have any questions, read both sides of the info cards, because there might be something on the back there that you have a question about. We'd love to answer that. Now, with the small group catalog, one more thing in the bulletin. There is a day of solitude in the bulletin that's advertised. It was advertised as a small group leaders day of solitude, but it is an option for all of us. So if you're in a small group, if you're not in a small group, if you're outside of Lakeland, anyone who's interested in this day of solitude, it is not a small group leaders per se day. It is for all of us. So I encourage you to sign up for that day, particularly for small group leaders, but for anyone who's interested in some spiritual direction and spending some time with God, getting away from the busyness. I know right now is a really busy time for most of us, but to carve out some time in your day to be with God, sign up for that at the guest relations table. Okay, small group catalog. Here's the nuts and bolts on this. As well as the info cards, make sure you're signing it completely. Someone said the other day, they turned in a card and it said, "No one's gotten in touch with me about this question I've had," and I looked up all their cards and they didn't have a way to get in touch with them. So please fill it out accurately, and the best way to contact you. If there is some email that you never check, don't put it on here, because that's how you'll probably get contacted. So make sure that that is something that you're doing accurately. Now the catalog, I want to draw your attention to this, because previously, if you've been here at Lakeland and you've gotten in a small group and you haven't had time for it or whatever the case may be, things in your life have changed. You've waited to the fall and you've signed up for another small group, and usually there's this big, massive buzz in the lobby. There's tables that are set up and small group leaders there are getting you to sign up for groups. That worked okay. The problem was is they filled up very quickly because people didn't give it a ton of thought. They thought, I'll go look in. They didn't have the correct information about all the groups. So this was an effort, these catalogs, to be more thoughtful about where you think God is leading you, whether that would be taking a step more towards something that is more interesting to you, whether it's a topical thing or whether it is a time thing. The only thing that I just need to correct on there is a couples group, the first couples group, Mike and Linda Eklund, they're meeting on Wednesday nights, not Tuesday nights. But everything else is fairly accurate in here. And so we would like for you to be able to reflect and take some time to think about it. If you already know what group you want to be in, sign it up here. Put your first and second choice. Okay? The reason why we have a second choice is because the groups fill up quickly. So if your first choice fills up, then we'll try to get you in a second choice. Now, if there's nothing in this catalog that can fit your schedule or really sounds like something that you have been wanting to do, then there's space on this card for you to fill out. Say you're a mom and you can only meet at 5 a.m. on Tuesday mornings and your husband's at home or whatever. We don't have a group like that right now, but it's possible that in the future we will. The waiting list is a viable option. Nearly everyone who's somewhat flexible can get in a small group somewhere over the course of this year, okay? So don't be afraid to say, this is kind of what I was thinking on the bottom here, even if it doesn't fit anything else in here. I will also say that there are several openings in couples group, in one couples group and other groups that are not in the catalog because they only had maybe one or two openings in there. So there are other options out there that might fit you really well, but they're just not in the catalog, and I can backfill some existing groups. So don't be worried about, oh, nothing's going to fill. Take a step toward it. If you're in doubt, sign up. Sign up. You will have next weekend to do this and the next 2 weekends, but I have a feeling that in about 2 weeks, it'll be full. So I really encourage you to take the time to read through it, email me if you need to. My email address is in the bulletin. And I will be in the lobby to pick these cards up. If you have any questions of the small group leaders, most of them are in the lobby. They have a name tag on, so you can ask them, and their pictures are in here. I know that's not what most of you will probably do. You can ask the questions on the card if you want, but if you want, they will be available. Not all of them are available. Some of them are upstairs serving in Kids Zone. Some of them are doing registration. Some of them are in a spiritual retreat this weekend. So they're not all here, and that's okay. But if you do have questions and you don't know where to find your small group leader, you can come ask me, and I'll direct you toward them or let you know if they're here or not, or send you upstairs, chase them down. So that is that, and I think we're good.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you. Well, let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and then I'd like to say a blessing for you. Father, I pray a prayer of thanks for the church, which is your plan to have your people reach the world. I pray we would have the strength and the courage to come together to be what you made us to be. Pray for courage and strength for those small group leaders this season, those who are going to lead again in a season to come, that you'd give them the courage and the softness of heart to hold the door open. Know that their love comes from you. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may you go and be one as the Father and Son are one, as our Lord Jesus prayed, go as one.